they receive the public, deceive the public in matters of allotted time to speak on each item of concern to the speaker. And it is potential far removed from the item being heard by the voting members. The non-agenda public comment portion of the CVAG meeting were rearranged towards the end of this each CVAG agenda. But most importantly, the allotted time that was allowed to each public speaker was reduced to only 2 minutes from the original and well-established 3 minutes that is commonplace throughout the Coachella Valley with other governmental organizations. Please allow Coachella Valley residents the freedom to fully participate and be involved in the public's business without government administrators acting beyond their authority to limit the public's participation in public meetings. Sincerely, Brad Anderson. So that's that.
So that's okay. So any other public comments? Or if not, we move on to item 5, chair or director announcements. Any announcements?
I have none.
Okay, with no comments, then we will move on to the consent calendar, item 6, approve the February 3rd, 2020 Transportation Technical Advisory Subcommittee minutes. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Do you have a second?
Second.
Okay. Who moved? Who moved and who seconded?
Tim moved and Tom Garcia second.
Thank you.
Instead of saying I'll approve, does anybody not approve? So the motion passes. Item number 7, discussion action, item 7A, regional signal synchronization pilot program. Eric.
So two things. One, a number of you are participating via telephone. If you want to talk, that's fine, but please identify yourself because I think it just identifies you by telephone number. For the discussion action items, I'm going to move the pilot program to the end of the agenda. That's going to be a PowerPoint from Advantech. And I'm going to cover the other items just together as a summary. And I'm not going to put a PowerPoint up for that. I'm just going to discuss it, as long as that's okay with everyone. And one way of showing your pleasure or displeasure your pleasure is if you look down at the bottom, for those of you that have not been on Zoom, there's a thing called reactions and you can make a thumbs up. There's also clapping, but I think we can hold our applause, but for those of you, and I'll just show you. So, here's a clapping icon that you can indicate. And there's also a thumbs up icon that you can activate to voice your consensus or whatever, as we discuss. That being said, the update, again, I'm just going to go through all these together. So it's been a while since we've met, and we did everything kind of stems off of the December 2nd CVAG executive committee meeting. A number of things were approved with reference to transportation and specifically signal synchronization. That was on December 2nd. Later that week, we met with Federal Highway and had a very long, I think it was over 4 hours, discussion that included Federal Highway and District 8. And the Federal Highway included an expert from the East Coast that flew in and participated, and it included our Southern California Representative Jesse Glazer. We talked about our approval of moving to one controller standard with them, and we also talked about our CONOPS and SEMP and officially handed those documents over to them and initiated their review of those documents. Of course, the holidays followed. We had a second meeting scheduled in January, which we held at CVAG with District 8 and with Federal Highway. But unfortunately, the Southern California Federal Highway representative, Jesse Glazer, had a emergency procedure and was not able to participate. However, the expert that flew in from Delaware, I believe, was in attendance at the meeting along with District 8. However, absent the main reviewer from Federal Highway, we went over in very much detail. I don't know if it's still on the drywall at CVAG, but I should take a picture of it to show what comes out of these meetings. Anyway, it was a very elaborate spreadsheet, and it was a very good review of everything that we'd been submitting, but they did not have their official comments for us, but they promised to turn them around. Unfortunately, again, Jesse Glazer became not available for, I think, about 6 weeks as Southern California's reviewer for Federal Highway. He did get back in contact with us in February, and in March began working again full time. However, his review of our documents, he actually said in March, at the end of March, he said that he'd have them completed as of last week, but I have not. I've tried contacting him. He has not responded. Carlos, have you heard anything from Jesse Glazer?
No, not yet, Eric. And okay. Surgery, all that, and I know he had to catch up with a lot of things. That's the only thing I heard.
All right. So, but he did anticipate being complete with our review in real time, as he kind of promised by last Friday, but we didn't get it. And they did tell us, he did make me aware of a couple of things, and they were in the staff report, but I'll just mention that the, you know, quote, Rick and I do not see any showstoppers from Federal Highway's perspective, but there may yet be some blanks that we need to fill in. So that's about what we anticipated. So there's nothing overtly wrong with anything we submitted, but we may need to provide some additional information, and Advantech stands ready to do that. He also included, I'll just read his quote, CVAG's work to date on the master plan has been extensive and voluminous. It appears to us so far that the master plan documents address most, perhaps all, of the important systems engineering actions and decisions required. If so, then we would be able to certify that an appropriate system engineering analysis was performed, which is their role in this. So it was very positive that everything looks good, but they hadn't finished going through it in detail. We're trying to get in touch with them, and we expect that we'll be getting their comments back literally any day, and that we'll fire them back as soon as we possibly can. You know, so we expect that exercise to be completed soon. From the Caltrans side of the ledger, they sat in on these meetings, and they're kind of like the bobbleheads. They're bouncing up, yep, everything's good, everything's fine. They don't actually review very much. They basically review that we followed the process, and they're waiting for Federal Highway's approval. So again, from a Caltrans Federal Highway perspective, we've done all we can, and we're just waiting for their comments. Anybody have any questions with respect to Federal Highway or Caltrans? Carlos?
Yeah, one more thing, Eric, that we got to emphasize that, you know, despite the Federal Highway and Caltrans, in February, the Federal Highway process changed on federal funding projects, that now you can indicate in your plans and specs a specific brand name, technology, model. In the past, you can do it, or you can even say or approve equal. and Caltrans sent a mandatory bulletin in February going accepting the same process. So it makes it a lot easier on ITS projects when we went through like we did through the technology assessment, now that we can indicate the model, the brand name of specific equipment.
Correct. And Caltrans District 8, so the Federal Highway told us that, and Caltrans District 8 followed up with the actual memorandum, official memorandum from Caltrans directing us that this is the new regulations with respect to procurement. So not that we're there yet, but when we get there, everything has changed from the federal level in terms of how you do procurement for these type of projects. We did, so the next item is the third party review. That was also something approved on December 2nd by the executive committee. There were some that thought that a project of this magnitude, that's affecting everybody to the degree that it is, ought to probably have some type of third party review of Advantech's work. So we put it on an RFQ. We ultimately selected Fair and Peers to do the third party analysis. I think we gave them 6 questions. I don't think I actually have those in front of me, but basically, are we on the right track? Are we doing the right thing? Are deliverables looking good? Do you have any ideas of what we should be including that we aren't? What about new technologies? Have we done everything we could to be prepared for the future? And is our cost estimates consistent with this type of project? They spent the month of March reviewing all of our documentation. In April, they're analyzing, and we will have a weekly conference call with them. We had the first conference call last week, and they're mid-review. They had a few questions. We'll continue to answer the questions. By the end of the month, they will start putting together kind of a draft of their, at end of April, they'll start putting together a draft of their comments. And we'll deliver a final report in May, certainly by the end of May, but probably before that. I don't expect anything noteworthy, but we'll see. Just a third-party review. Of course, the review by Federal Highway is the one that matters. And they've given us kind of a tentative thumbs up with just a few comments. So anybody have any question about the third-party review? We're paying for that outside of the project budget. Okay.
I see Ken has a question. Eric?
Oh, I didn't see Ken. Okay, now I see Ken.
Yeah. Hi, Eric. Thanks for that. I don't have a question about the third party. I more have a question about the allowance of brand names in our bid spec. Does it hurt the project to go with performance spec versus... What's the benefit of doing a name brand spec versus the performance spec?
The important thing is that the thing that Federal Highway cares about is that what you specify meets the requirements of your systems engineering, your SEMP and your CONOPS. And so that's really the only thing they care about. And you could specify your nephew's controller company as a vendor, as long as that meets your requirements. And it doesn't, I don't think, my understanding is it doesn't even have to be the best meeting that. If it's what you want and it meets your requirements, that's all Federal Highway cares about. What happens, and we'll talk about it in another item, what happens in handing off the control to the contractor, basically if you put it into a low bid, is the contractor's motives aren't aligned. And this is from Federal Highway. They're not aligned with ours as the customer or as the project sponsor. The contractor is looking to have low costs and maximize profits. And Federal Highway was very clear on a couple of items. One was the pilot, that not be entrusted to the contractor. And another was try to eliminate the wiggle room in specifying the items that you're trying to procure, because they won't care about our performance or our project They'll find a low bid and they might end up putting a square peg in a round hole. It's happened with Caltrans. Carlos, I think you know about that. There's an example where I believe it was Caltrans specified something and the contractor, in fact, I believe it was controllers, and the contractor came in and tried to swap in some Chinese duplicate or replicant of what the Caltrans wanted. And I believe it took 6 or 7 months of litigation to get back to what Caltrans wanted. Am I correct, Carlos?
Yeah, it was in Caltrans District 12. It was a project that I worked on. It was actually the cameras, CCTV cameras. Okay. Put all the performance requirements on it, and the low bidder come out with a different camera, and at the end did not meet all those requirements. It was about 6 to 9 months delay on the project.
It took that time. It took much of that time to determine that the manufacturer that the contractor selected did not meet the requirements. And Federal Highway, that's why they made the change, especially with respect to ITS, these ITS projects, is because it can become very difficult to prove. if a vendor claims to meet the requirements, it becomes very difficult to prove that they do not. And so that's one of the reasons that Federal Highway went with allowing entities to actually list the specific vendor now. You don't even have to say or equivalent. You don't even have to list the requirements. You just have to indicate that piece of equipment meets your needs. And so the assessment that we went through most of last year for all of those items of equipment, I know we're mostly focused on controllers now, but the review that we did of all those items of equipment really helps us now with the change in Federal Highway spec, because we can basically, the items that we selected, we can basically specify now, and we don't have to have a question mark about some type of, and I use Chinese just because that was the Caltrans experiment.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, Eric. What I have a concern is that when we were talking about evaluating vendors, Intellite, as the presentation stated, was the only vendor that offered that, that met our needs, I should say. And we were told as a group that by the time we get out to bid, who knows, other vendors may be able to meet the requirements.
Correct.
So this feels like another bait and switch where that was told then, but now we're allowed to identify a specific vendor, and now we're going to identify a specific vendor, not allowing another technology to bid. Did I hear it wrong?
Well, first, I wasn't aware that we bait and switched you previously. And second, we have not, we CVAG, and I believe I
can. But we're CVAG, right?
Right. Have not indicated that we're going to sole source anything. All we've stated is that Federal Highway has now given us that capability and encouraged us to do so. That's all we've said. And you are correct. By the time this goes out to bid, there may well be other vendors that meet that performance specification.
Okay. So it just seems like performance should be the way we go, but I'm open to hearing how we move
forward. So far, that's what we've discussed.
Like we're on that track.
Carlos?
Yeah, for all the equipment, Ken, even though we can say the name or not, every equipment we're putting the performance requirements, the latest performance requirement, not just the controller, but the cameras, the detection, all that. We're not just going to cut short the spec to 5 pages and that's it. No, we have to meet all the requirements. And to follow that too, Ken, the requirements that we pre-selected back in December, and we said, yeah, other vendor for the controller be able to meet them. And as of like, I think 2 weeks ago, we talked about back then the MIPS, free the MIPS. That's something that CVAG wants us to control that. Now Siemens is another company just released that they'd be able to provide us MIPS for free as well. So it's in the architecture a little bit more of those requirements. But we are going to include those performance required no matter what technology we're putting up there.
Okay. Yeah, well, I don't think no decision's been made if we're going to single source anything.
Okay, I appreciate that clarification. Sure. My preference would be that we go with more of a generic understanding what your hesitations are, Eric, about the, your example was the Chinese camera. I get that. And if we can make that a more positive experience, I would like to do that too.
Right. So that was the...
I have a question.
Yes.
The Fair and Peers third party review, when do we anticipate that they'll have a reportable?
So my understanding, as I said, is that they'll have some type of a draft report by the end of this month. When I say draft, it's probably a draft. For CVAG, if we may share it, it may just take cleaning up, and then they expect to have a final report in May. Their requirement is by the end of May, but I suspect that they'll have it mid-May.
Would the draft be, would you be able to share the draft with the committee?
I'll see. It depends. I guess I can define it in such a way. Martin, are you on any comment? I mean, right now.
I would say that we share the draft. Whatever the draft comes out to be, let's share it with the committee and see what the results are. There's some fine tuning that we have to look into or look at it. I don't think there's anything to hide here.
No, nothing to hide. I
think we're looking for a comfort level. So that would greatly help. I appreciate that. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, and whether it's done via another meeting or by email, but we'll figure that out. But that will be in May. And hopefully, I'm assuming, or end of April, so it should be the end of this month. And I'll update you if that changes by email. Also on here is the participating agreement. We had, in this post... shelter at home world, we had set up a meeting. We have a subcommittee that's volunteered to work on that participating agreement. We had to cancel it because I think most of the committee or half of the committee was otherwise involved and we had to reschedule it. I have not been able to reschedule it, but I plan to schedule it maybe even for this week or next week if everybody is... It's just kind of tricky to set up a meeting right now, but find an open hour. But is there a day? I mean, kind of raise your hand. Today is a Monday. Is Mondays good? Is Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Friday?
Eric, the participation agreement, the meeting that you're talking about, that's just with the subcommittee.
Yeah, but that's five. I think that's five of us.
And who are the five?
Ken, Tom Garcia, Palm. I think Don or Joel, but Palm Springs. John Corella, Tim Jonason, and I think there was one other. Is there one other, Carlos?
Is it Dan Porras or?
I have to look. There is one more.
Jonathan Hoyt? The previous.
Jonathan was going to sit in just because he's. We were trying to blend people that went through this process when we did it the first time. And blend it with people that have been active in the project and try and find a mix. There's so I guess it was kind of silly to ask the whole group, but I'll try and set something up this week, later this week, Thursday or Friday. Does that generally work? I see Tom shaking his head, so and you're on there and. Joel, I don't know if you were going to do that, if you were going to have Don do that.
Well, was a subcommittee the TTAS members, or was it?
It was a subcommittee of TTAS, but that can include the alternates from TTAS.
Okay. Well, I'll talk to Don. More than likely, it'll be me.
All right.
Eric, Friday works better for me, if that helps.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, Ken. All right, I'll shoot out something, and if it doesn't work, we'll try some alternatives. And so that was that. Same thing with TISMO. Frankly, I think we're finally caught up to where I think we can staff a TISMO meeting. We haven't, when I say we, Advantex, as you'll see when we go to the pilot project, Advantex really been working hard on that and staffing that. And so I think we would like to initiate TISMO and start talking about the maintenance and operations manual. I think we can knock that out a lot faster than maybe we previously thought, although doing the meetings over conference calls makes it a little trickier, but I think we can still do it. And it doesn't have to take months and months. I think it can just take, I don't know, 3 or 4 meetings to really get the structure set and to have slots to put the information as we develop further. And there's going to be things that are going to have to exist outside of the manual, or at least exist as separate, perhaps even separate agreements. You know, it could be tied to who owns the cable, who gets to use the cable, the fiber optic, data storage and saving video, and the policies on some of those will probably require more detail than will be included in the participation agreement that could go into the TISMO. But I think just setting that up, I think we can really get a handle on the chapters of that manual and start populating it in a number of meetings. Same thing with the participation agreement. If everybody's wanting to fire that up again for TISMO, I can start trying to set up a meeting for that as well in the next week or two. I see from those on video, throw up some thumbs or not. They don't have a down thumb. I see a couple up thumbs. So I'll fire up TISMO again and the next week or two, and we certainly have a full agenda, but the main thing, and we can discuss it, but the main thing will be this with construction looming. Well, the first thing might be just even talking about construction and how we're going to get through construction inspection. And but after that, we can start working on the maintenance and operations manual right away. Anybody have questions on firing back up the TISMO?
Eric, my recommendation would be to, when you schedule these meetings, schedule meetings that are maybe set every week or every 2 weeks, so we could really continue to keep this moving forward. And understood. If it comes to a point where, you know, maybe we don't have an update, maybe we just cancel it, but at least it remains on everybody's calendar.
Good idea.
Commit to it, and we can get this thing moving, because we've been talking about this for months now, about moving the TISMO and, you know, the participation agreement. I think we knew what was going to, you know, it was going to have some changes. I want it to all fall in place and give everybody a comfort level that, you know, the participation agreement really is more of the, I guess, the policy document pushing this thing forward. And we need to get everybody on board as we move forward and start going into the TISMO, the maintenance and operations, and, keep in mind the operations, maintenance and operations is a living document. It's going to continue to change over time with new technologies and whatnot. But we need to start establishing some recurring progress on this.
Okay. So that basically is the update of what's happened in the world of signal synchronization since we last met. Any other general questions? Otherwise, I'm going to turn it over to Carlos, who's going to talk about the pilot. Any general questions? I see nobody's hand. So as we know, back to that December 2nd executive committee meeting, they also approved a pilot, which came from this committee's recommendations or thoughts that, you know, there is a little trepidation about diving into new equipment and new standards and new software without doing some type of a pilot. When we did talk to Federal Highway about that in both of our meetings with Federal Highway and District 8, They were very adamant that we not do this as part of the construction project or even as like a phase one of the construction project, because they did not feel that the contractor was the right entity to be running a pilot. And I think that was driven from Rick Denny, the expert from Delaware, who had seen some pilots fail to be successful, just because the contractor had different motives than the sponsoring agency. So so we put together the pilot. We agreed to spend local Measure A money on it. That was an error in my staff report, which I'll change for future committees that might see it, but it did cost, under Tom's signature authority, which was not $10,000, but it was $50,000 for this project. I believe the initial estimate from our vendor was, our contractor that we hired was $42,000 and change. We ran into some unexpected little small contingencies, so that may change by maybe $2,000 or $3,000, still under the signature authority of CVAG. So, and that was done outside of this project with local funds, again, as recommended by Federal Highway and District 8. So if there's not any general questions, I'll turn it over to Carlos. I don't see any general questions.
Okay, Eric, so I need to share my screen.
Carlos, you have muted yourself. There you go.
Okay, I need to share my screen. So we tried this before earlier. Can you see my screen?
No.
No? So that's to come from the host.
I made you a co-host.
Okay. Can you see it now?
No.
No.
No. There we go. How about there?
There we go.
Perfect. Let me put it. Okay, thanks, Eric. So what I want to do, an overview of the pilot project. I've actually been working on the idea, the agenda, and the outline and the process since the December meeting. So I want to go over what we did initially. If you look at this graphic here, this was provided before the process of the pivot project in idea. Remember, we had the middle, the DAC, Data Grid Center, in order to have open architecture, no R&D, the software development from the local controllers to the top, which is the regional TMC. There's four levels of software there. So the controller has one software, the local ATMS has one software, the regional ATMS has another software, and the regional smart transportation management platform has one software. So as you can see, yes.
I'll just remind everybody that Carlos sent us out a report more than a month ago, about the pilot. And I know that I think Martin shared that twice with this team. So if you still have those or have the ability to open them, a lot of this information was in the report that Carlos already sent you.
Correct.
I just wanted to remind everybody that you have much of this.
Correct. Thanks, Harry. So the pilot project was created based on this process, the open architecture, the MIPS, the API. So we, again, avoid any R&D, any software development recurring costs for the center to center communication. So here's a snapshot of the report that was submitted in the outline, basically. So it gives you we selected 11 locations, four in Palm Springs, four in Cathedral City, one intersection around Terminal Rush, and two locations in La Quinta. Using the one software, but also keep in mind too that on the sidebar, La Quinta and NASA are doing a separate pilot project using the two locations with Siemens controllers and one location with the traffic work controller as well. But that was really wasn't just three locations were not part of this pilot project, but we're testing those controllers as well. So here's a map of the project locations. The idea was to include the project corridors, Highway 111, Washington, Ramon Road. And you know, the pilot project was very, you know, we expedited the process. And part of this is to provide some type of communications. And you know, the communications is, we use the cellular modem, which ideally we're not going to do that. We're going to do fiber optic on the project, but that was it. In order to run the data, the management pilot project, we had to use some type of communication. The project outline, the activities was also shown in the report. Some of the changes that we show here is it was because of the COVID-19 kind of started happening. So we had IT, we have to, on our project, pilot project, the real project, one of the things we learned here, and keep this in mind too as we deploy the next project, that we need to work with your IT resources very, very closely. And on this pilot project, there were amazing staff that we worked together with. They went back and forth, especially in times like this, because we had to connect our firewall, IP addresses, all that. So some of the days changed, but it is critical to work with them directly. So let's talk about the controller. So that happened through about in the morning, and we swapped the controllers here. So you can see that on the top, that's a 2070 controller for City of Pop. City of City in Palm Springs. On the bottom is a NEMA controller for La Quinta. And the bottom graphic, the DG, that's a cellular modem. Basically, those were the two equipments we put in the cabinets, plug and play, basically. And the laptop on the top is really, we implemented the same timing patterns that we had, and we back-checked to make sure everything was working properly. So we did this in early in the morning. For the four locations in Palm Springs, and this is how fast it went, Palm Springs and Clear City, it took four locations, 2 hours. That was pretty fast. And setting up the network, the centralized system at City Hall, that took about 45 minutes. We get all the data in live data into the cellular modems. Nighttime, like I said, even raining time, we put a top roll out. But again, we get the team going early in the morning and when you swap to controllers, two things we had to do. We put in the signal and flash and then replace and plug in the new controller. But something that we find out, again, part of the lessons learned, that some of those cabinets have not been opened for many, many years. And some of it has this, different electronics elements there. That one intersection in Palm Springs, we turned the signal and flash, three legs were flashing red, one leg did not flash at all. So we had to go back and put in another electronic, a flash relay, and made it work to flash properly. So those are things we found out, that some of the equipment, you know, it doesn't matter what kind of cabinets you use, it's some of the maintenance have to be, technology doesn't, you know, probably that signal wasn't in flash for a long time. So some of the things that we may come across through the process. But we're putting those paid out, some of the miscellaneous items in the project plans and specs as well. Another snapshot here, again, the controllers is at your city. And here, and this is the one, this slide I want to show here, this is Rancho Mirage. This intersection of Duval and Ramon Road is shared with Cathedral City. And we didn't change the controller here because we're going to assume, again, that we're still going to use the city's controllers. And that's a COBOL controller. And what we did, put in the cellular modem. And from there, we connected this intersection to the city Cathedral City ATMS. We got live information from the intersection right away. Again, plug and play. Now the ATMS, so this is a centralized software that's going to the local cities. Again, Palm Springs has 90 signals. This is gonna be the brains to control those 90 signals. So that's gonna be at the local cities, but also at the regional TMC as well. Same software, basically. And again, we had to deal with this is connected through your IT department, setting up the firewalls and all the IP addresses, making sure we have the two different addresses, one for the software, one for the STMP. Again, the due diligence on every city, it lasts for about 45 minutes just to bring the system back to life, all those intersections. And also, at the end, be able to, not just the local cities be able to see their own signals, but they can see all the pilot project signals. Again, that's a bit about having one software there, be able to see Palm Springs can see La Quinta, La Quinta can see Palm Springs, can get through city intersections without changing the timing patterns. This is a 18 minutes map. It kind of shows the 11 project locations spread out through the Coachella Valley. And this graphic kind of shows you the live data, live motion, real-time operations, where it shows the green, and if you see the area, the green is, I mean, the troop movements is green, and the site, the street is red. So again, you're getting that information in real time. And also the timing patterns, if it's corridor synchronized, you're gonna get a corridor synchronization patterns as well. The Palm Springs, Barison, this is Ramon Duval. Again, look, again, just plugging in the cellular modem, we get this live information in Capture City's ATMS. The Palm, Capture City, four intersections. We did the controller and the ATMS, La Quinta, and this is Washington 111 again. All this was probably completed between the four cities and CBEC in 3.5 days. More live information here. But again, this same map, every city can see the entire map from the Coachella Valley. They would see the operations, everything from the other cities as well. And the software is so powerful that it can provide other information, can monitor detectors, alarms, if your detection is not working properly. And one of the things I want to throw also emphasize here, I know before this coronavirus started, between the cities of La Quinta and Palm Desert and Indian Wells, they were going to synchronize to Washington. And I was talking to Chris, he was going out there. He did set up the timing, but he had to go to intersection by intersection to set it up. Here, using the software, he can just group all those intersections, set up the timing, and boom, within 10, 15 minutes, get all the coordination. So he doesn't have to go out to the site anymore. More about alarms, coordination alarms. It's some once you get a corridor coordinated, somebody starts out changing the timing during coordination peak period, you will set the alarms to the operators, so the city and the regional TMC as well. Now the last platform is an SDMP. And again, this is a regional management software. And keep in mind that even though we're coordinating signals, again, the job for us and for CBEC is to make a smart region. What else can we do with the operations of the corridor? How do we improve mobility in the valley? This software is what it takes you to the next generation, basically. So it has all different platforms here. And we're just gonna touch one with the project, but keep in mind too, as you start managing other facilities, I know I've been reading a lot about the new hockey arena in Palm Springs. They have parking issues, things like that. They may have some parking issues. But if we procure the parking module, you can integrate parking, the signals, and the CMS signs. So this gives you a platform, the different menus of the software here. Not only can do corridor management, but also plan events, again, like about hockey or the Coachella Music Festival. Incidents, if there's an incident on the roadway, you can coordinate that, how to turn the lanes off. You can integrate this with your PD if you wanted to. Weather, too. I know CBEC has a weather scan on the road study. Again, we can put that weather sensors nearby, connected to the network, connected to CMS, and the CMS will post Sian on the roadway, reduce speed to 10 miles per hour. This can happen in real time. So we set up all three cities and CBEC on the system. Keep in mind, even though this is a regional-based software, each city can run this by themselves as well, or they can run this as a subgroup, like Quinta and Indio and Coachella can run this a major event during Coachella Music Festival using this software. So this software also looks at the coordination of signals too. And again, when you plan events, you gotta be able to change the timing as a corridor base into kind of flush out the traffic as they go to the event or they move away from the event. So we set it up for the signals as you can see it here on the pilot project. The details information you can provide here, this is really for incidents. So there's an incident here on your local street. Again, the PD can inform that to the, let's say to the operator, operator can sit up here and the operator can set work orders to the crew. What do we need to close? What CMS signed to new ground? So it's real, all this happening in real time information. Again, this is you can operate the signs that we're putting on the project. So again, for the coordination here, you can put in not only just change the signal timing on the local roads, but also can put posts on messages on the DMS signs. Different messages that you want to come across. Here we threw it. We were working on this on the training last week. But again, I'm kind of like a hockey game in Palm Springs. I say we put a sign there too. Again, city can put up something on their signs right away and start. And how frequent, how many signs, how frequently, all that, what time does it start, what time does it end, all that can be completed in this software. Same thing with Coachella Music Festival. So you can see here the time, the date, from where to, and so there's a lot of information you can put in. For incident, again, this is a sample of a two-lane roadway. I can show display where the CMS, the portable message sign can be posted. Again, this is all live in coordination with your PD or your maintenance staff as well, or special event staff. The other part too, again, this is part two for the simulation we did for Hockey Arena. How do we can change the patterns in the coordinated corridor, basically? Boom. Let's say kind of like the Indian Wells tennis tournament. They change the cycle length on Washington. And again, using the software here, can be able to go ahead and put in the date, when does it start, when does it stop, instead of Chris going out there and do it by hand, or somebody else from another city. Travel time, a lot of information, give you the speed, time, peak periods, all that. That will build history, on, especially in the valley, how do we can coordinate or up-synchronize corridors, not on a, just on an AM, midday, and typical weekday. It could be in a special event, special areas during the winter, during the summer. This will give you a history and it can give you scale. Take this into account the first year or two, and then you can start being more proactive. How are you going to be able to synchronize corridors before those events happen? Weather, again, we talk about another, you can add a weather equipment here, technologies. Again, all this has to be open. You integrate the software, but only you got to have open architecture technologies. That's the key part. You're sharing the APIs. Everything now has an API. They got to share with the system as well. They can give it, you can see that on my right-hand side, the temperatures, all that, the weather, the wind speed. Again, I think this could be helpful for if we implement something when you can stand on the roadways, this type of software be able to facilitate and send the messages on the sign. Again, improve the safety of some of those corridors in the Coachella Valley. Another snapshot of the average wind speed. And finally, you know, you got this report here, and if you look at the outline, there's talks about the project, but also the key part in the report is that we put the testing requirements, testing acceptance, and the performance system requirements. And those are about performance, we have over 500, 530 something. And those are the same requirements, probably about 95, 99% that could be in the bid items, in the bid documents. And if for every technology, it will have a testing, accepting test, and the performance requirements. Disregarding if we put a brand name, a model name or not, they're going to have the same thing for that, because we want to make sure it meets the project's requirements. So right now, we just got we're getting all the finalized matrices from the testing and performance requirements. And we have a little delay, again, because of the virus getting working with the IT staff. But we're finalizing the report. So this we're going to create the report that you saw about a month ago. That's going to be called Chapter 1. Chapter 2 is going to be the installation, 3 testing, and 4 performance, and 5 recommendations. So that's it for me. Any questions? Eric, back to you.
Come on, there has to be some kind of questions.
I guess we're working on an HSIP project that's up to bid now.
And I was just actually chatting with Don on the side, trying to figure out how do I make this happen with the HSIP Cycle 7 project that I've got going. Maybe before award or after award, and if we do do it after award, how much will it change the cost of my project?
Carlos?
I couldn't hear him. He cut off at the end about the HSIP project.
Right, so if we have an active project right now, it's out to bid. I'm trying to figure out if we incorporate this into the project, right? And the Intel like controllers. If I do it after award, how much will it change the cost of my project?
Cathedral City, I know Desert Hot Springs, they're putting this, the performance requirements that we put in on this on the pilot project, and we have in the specs. And most likely, you know, again, maybe I have two companies right now requirements. And so it's going to be up to you through this process. Again, if federal funded rules have changed. And the beauty about, keep in mind when the requirements are valid, you can put in any box out there. Doesn't matter, but it's a software. So the beauty is about that you can specify that too as well. There's two options. You can keep your McCain system as you have it. We go back and replace as we go along with the selected system, or you can put in the performance requirements based on this pilot project, and you're probably gonna go down to one or two firms as well. That's probably, you got those two options I can give you. I know Cathedral City is moving towards one direction, and I think Desert Hot Springs is also moving towards one direction to call out Intel I controllers. You're on mute.
Does that answer your question, Joel?
Sort of in about roundabout way, gives me an idea.
Okay.
Joel, the only thing, I mean, our goal is to go out to bid in this project in June. So, what you can do too on your specs, put two alternate bid items too.
Yeah, we could probably do an addenda and put in the.
Yeah. I'll work with you guys. Yeah.
Maybe it just gives us an option. So, yeah, it's a good idea.
Yeah.
Brian, I don't know. I don't see Chris in the group, but I don't know if you had any comments. Basically, La Quinta's had the most active role in this pilot, and they've also touched the Siemens controllers. They also touched, I forget the other name of the controller, but they
TrafficWare.
Chris gives TrafficWare a thumbs down. But I don't know, Brian, if you had any comments on Chris's behalf or on your behalf from the city of La Quinta, having basically done this pilot.
Well, I know we had a couple little hiccups with stuff, but I think so far from what I've heard, things are performing adequately on our test. I haven't got a recent update from Chris, so I'll probably touch base with him on this, but... right now, it looks like at least the Siemens was able to handle the intersection.
Carlos mentioned it at the beginning, but we did have some glitches. The glitches weren't tied to the equipment we were testing. The glitches were more of a learning lesson. We, as you know, we connected these intersections via commercial wireless, our Verizon account. Since cellular lines are somewhat overwhelmed right now, that became a problem. IT staffs, which are critical to this whole endeavor, whether it be the pilot or the actual construction project, we had IT that stay at home order went on vacation. We had IT staff that weren't allowed in City Hall. And any communication was happening remotely. So that was a glitch. We had a glitch. Joel, I don't know if there was a fatality in that accident. We had a major accident in Palm Springs at one of our intersections. Had nothing to do with our equipment, and the equipment was able to tell us that it had nothing to do. The car traveling at a high rate of speed and became airborne.
How did you come about that? Did you just read it and knew it was part of the pilot program? I was kind of...
Don shared photos from the HOA, or a block captain shared photos with Don, and he shared them with us.
Right. I didn't want to say anything because the meeting is recorded. Not that I didn't want to say anything.
Okay. Gotcha.
The information, if it's asked for in a public records request, it will come out that we had changed that intersection. That's all I have.
Okay. Sorry. I didn't think about that. And we did have some issues where we had boxes that are not on our system, or I think at least one box that was not on our system. So we hadn't opened it, and we found some equipment that was very antiquated and caused a little bit of an issue, but we fixed that. We replaced some of that. These are pieces of equipment that are very low cost, marginal cost. We had some equipment in La Quinta that was in the cabinet that was faulty. Again, not our equipment, but had to be worked around initially. And again, we had some issues with real time, just because of the slow wireless connections. But as far as I know, I believe everything has gone well with the testing. I think we had over 500 items that were part of the test. Again, you can review that in the document that we sent out to you earlier twice. I don't at this time think that there's anything that's apparent that's not going to become a thumbs up from the pilot project. I think Carlos may have mentioned it, even though the pilot is basically completed, we have the Verizon account at least open for another month, and the cities still have the ability to access the information. The cities that are in the pilot can still access that information, can still view the software, can still view their intersections. But again, the pilot per se, I believe, is over, but the ability to utilize that hardware and software for another month is, and or more, is still available.
Is the data, a quick question, Eric, is the data at all the intersections recorded and available to us in the future?
I'm looking over to Carlos.
Yes, I mean, you get your daily reports all the time.
Okay. And it is recorded and available in the future?
Yes.
Right, the controller is acting as if it were completely installed as part of a project, so it'll have all of the information historically in it.
Not only the data, but any alarms too will record that.
So I guess my question is, you know, I struggled with the recommendation or what we had for this committee for this item. So at some point we need to accept or reject the pilot and then incorporate the findings of the pilot into the project. I think what we were testing with this was we used Intellite controllers, but we also tested Siemens, and we were basically piloting the standard and using Intellite as an example of a vendor that met the standard. I don't know, the three cities was Palm Springs and Cathedral City and La Quinta, and Steveg was included. Again, the lion's share of the work was done by Chris in the city of La Quinta, but I'd like to be able to tie a string around the pilot and say that it has been completed and that we've done it successfully. Carlos does have a final report that he'll be issuing. Carlos, what's the timeline on issuing the final report?
By the end of this week, Eric.
Okay, so it may be premature prior to the release of the final report. And so I don't know if we need to meet again, or I don't know. Any suggestions, Martin, on how we might vote on tying up this pilot, given that the final report won't be done till this week, later this week?
Well, I think the results of that pilot program need to be shared. I think, you know, it was something the executive committee wanted us to do. We just share it with the group and get a, hopefully it solidifies, our goals and what we want to do. And hopefully it doesn't change the progress that we've made to date. Maybe Carlos can talk more to that, but hopefully it doesn't change, our plans, our specs, and this gives the cities a comfort level that the pilot program proved that, the system could work. And we go from there. I don't know if, I think eventually, we're going to have to share the results of this pilot program back with the executive committee, because they're the ones that requested it. And go ahead.
Do you think the third party reviewer could actually weigh in on the report of the pilot program?
Sure. Yeah, I would say I believe so. I don't see why they wouldn't be able to.
So I guess we won't take action today, unless somebody wants to, but otherwise Carlos will send out the final report, and then we'll set up some type of a venue to act on it one way or the other. Does that sound okay to everyone? Carlos, sound okay?
Yeah, sounds fine with me. Yeah, I mean, we're...
Carlos, do you have any comments on where the final report is headed?
Well, the final report said it kind of like it's proven our pivot project, it's proven the recommendations, it's proven the requirements we've been writing for the last 6 months on the controllers and the ATC and the STMP. So and we knew the little hiccups. We knew, and then some of the equipment, the VIUs, we're going to replace those no matter what. Even with the current controllers, they were going to be replaced rather than the valet. But it proves so far what we've been doing for the last year, making sure this is the path that that's the original standard for the controllers and the ATMS.
As part of the report, Carlos, can you highlight the failures, what failed? And
we are.
And then recommendations for how that informs.
Yes, we're highlighting that.
Every failure, yeah.
Yeah, we're highlighting the electronics failure for sure. We're highlighting also the IP changes and recommendations, because we're taking those into account. Again, part of that is lessons learned. It doesn't matter what box we're putting in, it's just a lessons learned that we got to work together with your IT staff as we deploy the real project. So other than that, I would say that the pilot project is a successful project. It highlights I go back to the last presentation, not only about coordinating signals, but again, you can integrate other tools. And as you start moving along with more mobilities, more demands in the Coachella Valley, more issues on sand, on the roads, these are the type of tools you want to use. And it's your tools, it's open architecture. I'm getting the live demos right now from those intersections here at home. I cannot touch it because I don't have the privilege, but that's the beauty about the software, being able to be open architecture, be able to integrate other technologies or open architecture.
So let me frame it a different way. We have some critical path items. One of the critical path items is our request for authorization to spend money in construction phase. And that's awaiting a couple of things. It's waiting our comments back from Federal Highway, but it's also, we need to submit the plans to the cities. The plans are completed and the specifications are completed. So maybe if we can qualify that the specifications currently include specifications tied to the pilot, we'd like to distribute the plans to the cities, but TTAS was concerned and did not want to see the plans until after we completed the pilot. So maybe if we could maybe see if that's okay to have Advantech share the plans with the cities, that would be very helpful in moving our path forward to get our request for authorization to spend the construction money. Anybody have any thoughts on that? Again, it was mentioned at the last TTAS meeting that the cities did not want to receive the plans until the pilot was completed. We've completed the pilot, we just haven't submitted the report. But if we submit the plans and specifications, understanding that we haven't approved the pilot, that the pilot has been done and all signs look to it, that the standards will have been successful, are we able to submit the plans to the cities?
Why don't we do it all in one action when we actually get the report and approve the report, and then we give you the authority to move it forward? Why do it? I mean, let's just go ahead and I knew somebody was going to probably weigh in on this, so might as well just cut you off real quick. Why don't we just do it all in one meeting? That way we get the report, we approve the report, then we just move forward instead of trying to go, as you're suggesting, ahead of it. I think that would save.
Again, we're trying to, and that's fine.
I think I'm trying to save a lot of discussion right now by just doing that. If we do it all in one motion during the next meeting, then that would probably alleviate some conversation right now.
Okay.
Thank you.
Does somebody want to? I guess that doesn't need to be formal. That can just be the chair's recommendation.
Yeah, that's my recommendation.
So I'm okay with that. Can you see some thumbs up or? Mm-hmm. I see a couple thumbs up. Okay, it looks like there's a consensus that we are able to just do that as one action. So as soon as Carlos sends out that, we'll set up a forum. It may be a currently unscheduled TTAS meeting. We do have notice requirements for TTAS, but we'll follow those and set up a meeting to accept or comment on the pilot and to authorize the release of plans and specifications to the cities. That doesn't need a motion. It looked like a consensus on Joel's recommendation. So,
all right. So. Does that conclude item 7B?
Yes.
Okay, moving on, public comments.
Do we have any public comments? Beverly or Joanna or whoever's managing that end of it?
I don't have any on the Uber line.
Okay. So there are no public comments.
An announcement, item 9?
I have an announcement I guess it's an announcement. As we've all probably seen, there's been a lot of activity in Washington, D.C. tied to a stimulus package. And given that there's been positive comments from both the White House and the Congress in regard to this stimulus package, it would seem that this will happen in the near future. When they're talking $2 trillion, and I know quite a lot of that is tied to responding to these type of pandemics and other emergencies, but obviously a very large component of that will also be transportation. There's kind of a pent-up desire, I know, in Washington on both sides, from the administration and the Congress, to pass some stimulus package. It's a way to get money into the economy. In transportation, there's a number of projects regionally that are potentially, I mean, every project is potentially eligible, but if they're looking for projects that are closer to shovel ready, projects that have their environmental completed, and not just talking from us, but also talking from RCTC's perspective to be able to push it from the county as well, certainly signal synchronization is right there in phase two, which is currently not completely funded. We have initiated that project in design. We have initiated that project's environmental studies. We have requested and will receive sometime this week, Carlos, a schedule for the environmental, which is already underway. We're maybe going to make some modifications or suggest some modifications, which we can also discuss at maybe this next meeting. Phase two, as you recall, was going to have items that were more complex, perhaps environmentally, than phase one. The idea of phase one was use existing conduit, Wi-Fi elsewhere, otherwise, and let's just get it done quickly. And we did. Phase two has a substantial number of changeable message signs, which all have footings, which all require analysis. I think we were anticipating a little bit of fiber being placed in phase two, which involves digging. We've asked our environmental consultant, which is Audrey Nickerson through Altum Group, even though that's not where she works anymore, but we've asked them to take a look at what items we might want to take a scalpel to surgically remove them from a phase two environmental so that we can complete the environmental more quickly and potentially have a phase two project shovel ready as soon as possible. We will take, if we make any changes, whether it's changeable message signs or anything else, anything that's a deviation from what we had planned for phase two, we'll take it back to this committee. And I don't know, Martin, we may have to take it back to other committees, but probably will. But our goal is to complete that environmental as soon as possible. It was completed for phase one within less than 30 days, which is, as all of you know, is just about as fast as it's possible to get environmental completed, or, I mean, approved by Caltrans. The environmental is not complete, but it is underway. We'll update you with what that schedule is, but there is a tremendous opportunity to fund perhaps the remaining phases of signal synchronization with some type of a federal stimulus. Martin, I don't know if you want to add anything.
Eric, if I could just jump in here. Hi, all. Good morning. Thanks for... some of you may have heard through your work at RCTC, RCTC is starting to kind of compile a list of projects just to get us poised in the region. And this isn't a earmark list. This is a, if there was a stimulus, we would be ready to spend it kind of advocacy list. And then the whole actual allocation would come later. RCTC has been very engaged and has been looping CVAG staff into the conversations. For those of you who went through the stimulus in 2008, you'll recall there was a really small window for which to get the funds out the door. And that's what RCTC is anticipating this time. So kind of the request from them was, what are those projects that we could put on the list? And obviously signal synchronization is one of them. And from our region, big projects really just poised to put out the dollars quickly and get the economy moving. So we have been in conversations with them about kind of our larger projects. But as Eric mentioned, it would be wanting to get the environmental done sooner than later to be ready should that stimulus package happen and should the dollars start flowing.
Okay.
Carlos has a question.
Yeah. Eric, also, you may want to say that in the original master plan, there was 21 corridors where we phase one is the 3 corridors and phase two was the eight remaining 18. And through the last 2-3 years process, talking to the city, staff were pushing for additional corridors. And when we updated the master plan, it's under review. And also phase two, we're going to add four additional corridors, which is Portola Avenue, Barnett Road, Avenue 50, and Avenue 44. With that said, again, I know people are working from home. Somehow our staff have to collect the record drawings from those corridors. Our staff have to, and also environmental staff, go out to the site and do some field review. So not sure how critical it is with a shutdown, if we need a letter from specific cities and CVAC. But also we need those two things. Get ready. We got to start going out there within the next month or so to the site. So we need record drawings ASAP. And we'll do a formal request, but I don't know. I know because most of us are working at home. There may be some delay, so I just want to give you a heads up.
Carlos, this is Randy. Are you asking just for the intersection traffic signal and interconnect plans, and that's it?
That's correct, Randy. Thank you. And your timing plans too, Randy.
Repeat, please.
And your signal timing plans.
Okay.
I'll send a formal request.
Yeah, so just to be clear on the limits that you're asking for.
Yes, we'll do.
Okay. Any other announcements?
Mr. Chair, if I may, also we've been brainstorming at CVAG on the projects that would be big on this level. If you have another project that perhaps we haven't thought about, it's going to be ready in the next, say, 180 days, could put money, federal stimulus money out the door. If you could possibly send a note to Eric and Martin, that way we can make sure we've got a nice, robust list, and the Coachella Valley really benefits if there's a federal stimulus.
Erica, is there a timeline when we need to submit this to RCTC?
Martin, there is no official timeline, but I'm in communications with RCTC staff on an almost daily basis. So we want to just keep them updated as much as possible. So that way, as I think we've all seen, things change rapidly in this current world. So if there is something happening, that they're ready to pass along information.
Okay.
So with that, the next meeting is going to be Monday, May 4th at 10 a.m. It'll probably be a Zoom meeting. And with that, I move to adjourn.
I'll move to adjourn.
Yeah. Second.
The May 4th meeting is not for TTAS.
It's a transportation committee.
Right.
You're correct, sorry.
Yeah. Our meeting is to be determined.
Right, you're right. I read that wrong. Sorry.
No problem.
There is a meeting scheduled for May 25th, but that won't be the next meeting.
Okay, so I think we're gonna adjourn. We got a motion and a second. That's the end of the meeting.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone. Thanks, Carlos.